to herself. I can go ahead? Oh, thank you. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about, do you really know that you're an extraterrestrial? And it's probably one of the most self-evident talks I'll ever give. Just look at the people around you or look in the mirror, and that's proof enough. Okay. Now, those of you who don't want to admit it, you'll have this quizzical look like, what's Dr. Lane talking about? How can I be an extraterrestrial? Okay. And the answer is real simple. You were born that way. Okay, and what do I mean by an extraterrestrial? Well, let's take a look at the word. Extra, meaning beyond, and terrestrial, meaning the land. So that you're beyond this earth. You're beyond the land. What comes with this earth? Well, we know that thoughts come, emotions come, ideation comes, a whole bunch of beliefs come. Imagination comes, and also what comes with it is what's brought us here in a way, and that is our karma, our fate. You know, and it's fascinating to me how many people will follow the astrology columns, etc., etc. And what happens in astrology is you get to see what the karmic patterns are. So what you're doing is you're buying into the stars, things that are ordained, as it were, or preordained. So you're at the mercy of this stuff. And that's how people see themselves. We see ourselves as at the effect of, or fated, or we're stuck here. Okay? And the truth is just the opposite. We're not stuck here at all. Okay, but rather, we're in control of the stars. And what do I mean by that? But we control our fate. In other words, we're in charge of our destiny, and we can either live a life of destiny or of fate. Okay, what's the difference? Reincarnation is the difference. Okay? Let me break it down real simple, okay? We're here really as a gift, okay? And we're here because we've all agreed to be here. If you hadn't agreed before you took birth to be in this body at this time, you wouldn't be here. So you're controlling your being here, okay? A soul that's mastered its destiny, it masters its comings and its goings. It's not bound by the karmic law. The karmic law is you reap what you sow. Okay? And that's the difference. And our nature is that we're spirit. And yeah, it's easy to say, oh, everybody knows I'm spirit. I know I'm spirit. I'm not a spirit. Yeah. But do you live that way? Because many of us walk around, we think, either I shouldn't be here, it's a mistake, I must have done something wrong in a past life. You know, so many of you are fascinated with past lives, and yet if I would ask you, what past life are you talking about, you probably wouldn't know. You wouldn't want know if it's past life where you actually were an embodiment, or if it was a past life that one of your basic selves had. And what body was that using when it had that embodiment? You know, when you talk about past lives, well, that's nice, but how come it's carried over to this lifetime? You know, and what's the learning? And your knowing about past lives doesn't really do very much for you, other than if you've moved beyond the karma that comes with you, that lifetime that you, this lifetime that you may have created in that lifetime. Okay, and we walk around thinking we're fated. Oh, well, it was bound to happen. You know, and everything is according to God's will. And yet there are many, many people and many, many cultures that go, according to, if it's God's will, meaning there's nothing I can do. Okay, but there's plenty we can do. And that is, we are a choice. We can always make a choice to be with God and to live in grace, or to live in our karma, to live in our fear, in our negativity, in our hurt, in our separation. See, that's all karma. And that's fate. Well, that's the way I am. Well, yeah, but you're not that way. Because Edward decided to look up old ancient texts on voodoo, and he put a voodoo curse on you. See, my voodoo curse that Edward put on me is, I'm a white man who can play basketball. See, that's a little side joke there, but okay, that's my voodoo curse. Okay, but aside from that, we walk around going, well, this is me, and this is who I am. Okay? Well, who put it there? Okay? You did. So if you could create that, you can uncreate that. And when we sit in meditation, and even now with this process of making believe and pretending that your nose is here at the upper part of the third eye, you can start to experience and use that as a symbol also that we're more than our thoughts and we're more than our feelings, and we can get above, as it were, our karmic creation. Okay, but if you're just a terrestrial, if you're just a quote earthlink, you can't. Okay? But the real truth is that we have dominion over all things. The Christ told us that. We have dominion over all things. Okay? And so many of us would go, oh, the angels, oh, wow. The archangels, oh, wow. Well, we have dominion over the angels and the archangels. And in fact, all of heaven, from the place of the spirit that we are. Not dominion dominating, okay, but dominion in the sense of we're the epitome of God's creation, because we're created in His image. We're created in the image of God, and that image is the same material, as it were, as God. And that material is the Holy Spirit or the sound current. Okay, and we're of the same thing. We're of the same essence as God. So if we're of the same essence, then guess what? How could we be fated? See, now I could take all of you out on a really nice clear night and have you look at the sky. And you'd go, oh, the stars are beautiful. Oh, that star is so beautiful. And if I were to tell you, you're basically having a hallucination, you'd think I was the one hallucinating, okay? But the truth is that almost all those stars you are seeing, they don't exist anymore, okay? But their distance from this planet and the light years that it takes for the light from that star to get here, it seems as if they're still in existence, okay? But the source of that is gone. The star that you're looking at no longer exist. Okay, and yet it looks like it's real. Okay, and that's about how human consciousness works. The source of so much of our negativity, the stuff that's brought us to this planet time and time again, we treat as if it's still going on, as if it still exists. Okay? And we're at the effect of that. You know, and you can't break the mold of fate, right? Okay, but the journey of a soul is self-mastery, mastery of itself, rising above its karmic destiny. Okay, and we know from the teachings of the path of soul transcendence that there's only one karma in reality. And that is the original karma, when God created us as soul. And we also know that, and this is kind of saying the same thing, that there is no such thing as sin. And that the only sin, if you want to call it that, that exists is the sin of not knowing who you are. and yet we pretend that we're fated. That we have to have these thoughts, these feelings, these things that separate us from spirit. And we've forgotten our real power, you know, and being kicked out of the garden and that myth is a reflection of our sense that we're powerless, that we're victims, that we have no power, that we're fated, we're separate from God, we've been kicked out of the garden. Okay, well, A, we haven't been kicked out. B is we keep kicking ourselves out by the creation of karma. See, I can look in the sky and see the past. You know? But if I'm not careful, I'll look in the sky and see the past, and I'll think it's going on right now. Because it takes all that time to reach me. Okay? Well, it's real interesting. You know, we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11. But isn't that what happened? Something was put into motion a long, long time ago. And it just came back around. Now the karma was picked up and we had the incident that we had. The source of it no longer existed and happened 800-900 years ago. And yet, bingo, there it is now again. How does that happen? Well, real simple. We choose to participate in fate. And each of us individually, we choose to participate in lack and limitation and fear and hurt and pain, and we keep it going, okay? But how come if Edward tells me, hey, Dr. Lane, you won't play for the Knicks, I might very well be upset, shaken, depressed, be really affected. Okay, if Edward were to tell Melissa that, I doubt she would be thrown by that news. Okay, it's the same news, okay? So it's my creation. It's obviously not the thing itself, because it doesn't affect everybody the same way. It's my creation. That's what affects me. Okay? And on the surface, it seems like, okay, Dr. Lane really got upset about not being able to play for the Knicks. Okay? But what's really underneath it? Well, maybe it's having to please others. Maybe it's having to prove himself. Maybe it's not knowing he's any good. Whatever it is. Okay, that's my karma. Melissa doesn't have that karma. How come I'm choosing to go with it? Because the equal thing is, well, that's good. I don't want to play for the Knicks anyway. I can make more money being a spiritual teacher, you know? So I decide to do that. So I have the choice. I have the choice. But you see, it's really important because I could spend my whole life in resentment of the fact that I didn't make it as a professional basketball player. And then I've created negativity, and then I've created karma. And I've created my fate, because guess what? Sooner or later, this particular karma that I've created now, that's going to become my fate karma in a future lifetime. I'm responsible for all my creations. We're responsible for everything. Totally and completely responsible. Edward's not to blame. He just delivered the news. You know? And also, if Melissa wants to have that karma, she can have that karma. But guess what? It doesn't lessen my karma. So I'm at the effect of it, and I'm fated, and I'm the one that created it. So I'm going to come around and be at the effect of something I put in motion. So there comes like, and the thing, it might be 30, 40, 50, 100 lifetimes later. And just like the star that no longer exists, the instant of my making the Nyx doesn't even exist. But it's like the time and the distance it takes to travel and the light years that it takes, it makes it seem like that's still going on, and I buy into it. And so I come back and I'm at the effect of it, and I'll always be dealing with whatever that karma was. Okay, until I choose away from it. Until I know that I am spirit and I'm more than my thoughts and I am more than my feelings and I'm not bound by what brought me here, my karma. I'm not bound by that. You know? It's kind, you know, in this culture we tend very much to think we are our pocketbooks. So if you make X amount of money, you really, you know, this kind of a person. And if you make more money, well, then you're a better person. And if you make more, you're even better than that, you know? And that's really materialism. That's all we are, okay? But that really is being bound by our fate. And some of us know, hey, I'm not that. I'm not this. It's something that I do. It's something my body does, you know? And, you know, it's interesting, too. In this culture, we tend to say, oh, someone's a doctor, someone's a lawyer, someone's an Indian chief. Well, God, if that's what they are, we're in big trouble. I mean, I could see you do that as a job. I can see that you do it as what you're interested in. But it's what your body does. Okay. In reality, while your body is busy doing that, guess what? You still, whether you're aware of it or not, as soul, as spirit, you still live in the inner worlds with God, regardless of what your body's doing. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. We tend to see what the body's doing, and then we make that equation. Oh, that's what that person is. And the interesting thing is, we don't even know why that body's doing what that body's doing. That person may be a doctor because they're balancing out some karma. Maybe an old Atlantis, they were doing some of those famous surgeries, you know? Maybe they come back around to help heal instead of destroy and hurt. Maybe some lawyers has to right a wrong. You don't know. So we don't even know why the body's doing what the body's doing, and yet we identify that person with what their body's doing. Well, that's crazy. I mean, that's like saying, hey, I've got a foot. Okay, that's who I am. I'm a foot. Hello, Dr. Foot. How are you? And that's all of you. Well, you don't identify yourself with a foot. That's a part of who you are, and not a very big part, and it does its job, no pun intended, and it serves a perfect function, but it's still on this level. Okay? And yet we tend to do that with thoughts and feelings and emotions and imagination. We tend to think that's who we really are. And we tend to think that all that stuff is fated. You know? Well, it's kind of like saying, oh, well, you know, I grew up and, you know, I was damaged this way or hurt this way. And my mother did this to me or my father did this to me. You know, this person did this to me. Yeah, well, how come that if your father or your mother did that to 100 people would not be affected by it the way you've been affected. Methinks it has to do with you and your karma. And how come you agreed to have them as your mother or as your father? What's in it for you? You know? And where I went to college, the head of the one of the departments, his twin brother, his brother was on death row. Well, I guess the inside joke was, well, who really was serving the harder time? The head of the department at the college I went to, or the guy on death row? But they had the same mother, same father. How about that, huh? So we come in with our own karma, with our own stuff. You see? And there's always, and this is key, there's always operating God's grace. Okay? And God's grace is His love for us. And there's a way home, and there's a way through, and there's a way out. And there's a way to know God while you're in the body. Okay? And God's given us free will. You know, and I run across this all the time, and it is the most, to me, one of the most maddening things, and yet at the same time, it's one of the most affirming things of the validity of the teachings. And the thing I run across all the time is, well, I'm strong-minded. You know, I'm strong-minded, and I don't need God, or... You know, real scientists, they were just so science is no God, you know. It's like if you see how powerful the mind is, you won't go for this thing called God because that's just a symbol of weak-mindedness. And just the other week, somebody that I knew, and she was describing her mother's dying, et cetera, and how the mother knew it was time. And she knew when the time had changed for her, where she couldn't go yet, and when she had to go. And this person was describing it to me, and I said, well, your mother was a very God-loving person, and she just acquiesced to His will. And the person just dismissed it and said, nah. She said, she always did. She had a mind of her own. Well, A is... That's the illusion. We think we have a mind of our own. Okay? But in this progression of a soul, see, and this is what happened to the Christ, and this is an illustration of what happens with every soul, is there's an overshadowing. Okay? The mind, as it were, is overshadowed by spirit. Okay? And the mind, because of how things sit, it has no ability to rise above itself, and it has no ability to know or see or perceive things clearly at all. Okay? And it can't even animate itself. Okay? Because behind the mind is spirit or God. Okay? See? And... we also know that there's a real paradox involved, and that is when the mind is empty and it fills itself with the spirit, that's how it becomes powerful. It's very much like the words of the unknown poet. Genius is the absence of thinking in the presence of thought. See? And also, so many of us think, well, you know, the universal mind, you know, that's like getting up there. Well, yeah, the universal mind, A, is part of the universe, as the word says. It's very much part of the universe. Okay, and so it's fated. Okay? And the other thing is that it's not the clear shot of spirit. Okay, it's still in what's called the negative world or the negative polarity. Okay, so much of what we aspire to, you need to be careful and you need to watch it because it all boils down to forgetting that you are spirit, that you are an extraterrestrial, that you're beyond your thoughts, you are beyond your feelings, you're not your body. You are spirit, you are soul. And isn't that what the Christ is all about? The Christos, the Christ consciousness, the Christed consciousness, whatever you want to call it, the oneness of your consciousness and God's, and always remembering that, you know? And then on top of it, the Christ Jesus did an awful thing. He told us that. He said, that which is in me is in you too, only more so. So we're charged with this responsibility. And there we are, mankind being mankind, we worship this guy and put him up on a pedestal. Even though he said, don't worship me, worship the one who sent me, we disobey what we've been taught. We make like he's the answer. And you're dummies. I mean, I've been to funeral services, and that's what I've been told. I'm a dummy. I can't know anything. Okay? But the Christ Jesus, he knows, so just believe in that guy, and that's okay. Well, I can't do that because I love the Christ Jesus so much. I want to listen to what the guy said. And the guy said, hey, wait a second now. That which is in me is in you too. See, and also, the truth is that what happened spiritually after he died was that the consciousness that was in him was distributed and placed in each soul. So we have that within us. We have that within us. So we're not bound by time and space. Of course, that's the cross, time and space. See, and most of us get into the pain and the suffering of the world when we need to live in the resurrected body. What's the resurrected body? Well, it's Easter. What's Easter? But the glory of the resurrection, of being in the soul body, being in with God. And there's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. So ask yourself as you go through each day, did I live as an extraterrestrial or did I live as a powerless earthlink? You know, and initially it may seem that being an extraterrestrial means, you know, it's so far and you literally got from a UFO from some strange planet. You know? Well, watch the judgments. Okay, and let's conclude. I'd like you all to do a short process. Okay, so take a moment. If you just uncross your arms or your legs. And Lord God, send us your light. Okay, and allow a situation to come up inside of you that's really kind of hounded you, that you kind of feel bound by. And you're stuck in it. Okay. Now remember that you're an extraterrestrial, something beyond all that is here. And it's here for you. And that's the spirit that's inside of you. Ask the spirit to come into that situation and just see what happens. Okay, well, it's been brought in and it may unfold or you may have gone to completion with it now. But just for you to know that you're not stuck in the stuckness of it. And that to live as an extraterrestrial and to really know that you're an extraterrestrial is to live each moment in the presence of God. That God is entirely present each and every moment. And lives in you. And when you choose away from that, you're choosing fate. When you choose into the spirit you are, and knowing that you're spirit, knowing that you're soul, you're moving into your destiny. And we know our destiny because we've been told that what our destiny is, our true destiny. And that is to go home with God and be with him while we're in the body. Be present with spirit and know that we're spirit and there is a way, and that's the way that the Christ taught us. It's not the way of Christianity. It's not the way of Judaism. It's not the way of Islam. It's not the way of atheism. It's not the way of Hinduism. But it's the way for every Arab, every Christian, every Jew, every Muslim, every Hindu, every atheist, every soul. And whether that soul's in a body that's white or blue or green, Polynesian, Micronesian, black, yellow, doesn't much matter. Okay? That's the universal. And that universal is that we're extraterrestrials. We're beyond being subject and bound in time and space. We're not on the cross. We're in the resurrection. And our job is to live like that. And that's really the message of the Christ. Anybody can be crucified. You come in time and space. That's the crucifixion. Okay? But it's living in the resurrected body. And there's a way. And each moment we choose to be in the spirit and to bring in spirit and to focus on that is a moment that we're with God, at least on that level that we're on. And that's a pretty momentous occasion. Okay, so take it from the chief Martian or extraterrestrial. Well, Martian's still part of the system, but take it from the chief extraterrestrial. Okay? That if you want to ride on an incredible UFO, try the sound current. Ride the sound current. Ride the Holy Spirit into the heart of God. Because you came out into the outcroppings from God into this world, and now you have to ride it back. So that's how you get back home. And God, in His kindness and in His mercy, He set the way for us to go home. Okay? I'll stop with that.
Okay, why don't we take any questions that you may have, and we'll start with Phoneland.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Barry.
you mentioned that, you know, we're here because of our karma, because of the creations that we've created in the past. I believe you also said that we are here because we've agreed to be here. And if we hadn't agreed to be here, we wouldn't be here. I don't really understand how we can reconcile those things, because one is sort of a compulsion. If we're here because of our creations, we're here because we're compelled to deal with that which we've created in the past. Same time, say we're here because of our agreement. Well, you know, what if I don't want to deal with the creations of the past? Then why do I have to come here?
Okay. I'll just repeat the question. The question was involving a seeming contradiction between two things that I said. One is that you come here because you're at the effect of what you've put in motion. And the other thing that I said was that you're here by agreement, and that if you hadn't have agreed to this, you wouldn't have come now, okay? All right, well, let me take it from the opposite point of view, and that is I don't see the conflict at all, okay? But I'll try to explain it as best I can, all right? Those are attachments, the karma, okay? And it's like a rubber band, and it sort of snaps you back and snaps you back into another body, okay? So that's immutable, that law, okay? I said you wouldn't be here now in this time in this place unless you had agreed to it, okay? That means, Barry, something real simple, that if you don't agree to be at the effect of it in this particular lifetime, you won't come into a body at this time, okay? But you will still have the karma, and you will still have to come into a body. It will be at a future time. Okay, so it's not like, well, if you don't come in now, then you don't have to address the karma that you've created. Okay, no, it just gets, as it were, postponed. See, and that's another reason why being in the body is a gift. It gives us a tremendous opportunity to move on with our progression. Okay, is that, does that help, Barry?
Yeah, okay,
sure. Barry, but if what you were saying would only be true, then literally, guess what the motto would be in the inner worlds? Just say no. You know, just say no. And, okay, you don't have to come in. All right, well, that takes care of the karma. You didn't come in. But unfortunately, Barry, it doesn't work that way. Okay. Good, huh? Wait. We're getting fancy now.
Haven't I created my karma by coming to this earth in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So why'd I do that?
Why did you do what? Come to this earth in the first place or
only
create
to create karma?
I'm sorry?
Only to create karma.
Okay, but you didn't come to this earth to create karma. Okay? You came with the opportunity and with the blessing to create a way and to move into spirit. It was through the exercise of your free will that you chose those creations that separated you from the spirit you are, or that's known as karma. See, and the interesting thing about God's system is the very place that you've come to and have created karma in the past, well, that has a lot to do with fated. Okay? And moving into your destiny is knowing the true purpose of being here on this planet.
But yet I came here because of the karma I created to have an opportunity to work it out. But I didn't get the karma till I came here.
Well, no, you had the karma with you before you came here.
To work it out.
Okay, but also, you see, and this is crucial. What you're saying is dangerous because if that were true, if you came here to work out your karma, you would never be able to finish up, you see? And also, it's not you working up your karma, okay? But really, it has to do with grace. Okay, and I'm not going to get very technical about what happens when a soul chooses initiation, okay? But let's just say that it is no longer a question of balancing your karma, because really you can't.
Well, when you say we came here to handle what we put in motion,
mm-hmm.
How do you mean that then?
Okay. In other words, you're here to learn how to create positively and to create spiritually and to learn the responsibility of everything you've created in the past. Okay. And what better way than to rub against all those separations with spirit, with God within you? Okay? So all that stuff has to be handled in the sense that you have to use them properly, and those are as springboards into the spirit that you are. Okay? I don't mean to say or imply or infer or anything else like that you have to balance the karma, because you can't. You know, I give the example of, well, when, let's say, buses used to be $1.50, you know, here. Okay, you go and you cheat the bus and you put $1.25 in. Well, the next time you think you're going to balance it and put a quarter more the next time, so you put $1.75. That doesn't balance the karma, see? And yet that's what we all kind of do. So does that help you, or... I'm not sure then what your question is. If,
I'm not either.
Okay. It seems like between the lines of what you're saying is like, isn't this a funny place to come to when this is where we've created the karma in the past?
No, it started with Barry. He brought up the two different aspects of what you said.
Right.
And you said we come here to work out what we put in motion.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought what we put in motion on the planet.
Well, yeah, you did. That's where the karma was created. So I'm not sure.
But originally, I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to have a body.
Well.
But so I came here, I got into a body, and then I started creating all this stuff.
That's right.
But you said that we come here to balance out what we put in motion. But before I created any karma, why did I come here if okay. I didn't have any karma?
All right, the original, well, okay. The original, okay, intention was for you to experience all of God's realms, all of his creation, okay? But God also gave us free will. And while you were in a body, you started choosing away from God and creating the karma.
So all I have to really learn is just focus on God.
That's exactly it. And even the quote negativity and the karma, it's not bad or anything. Those are springboards that, hey, wait a second, we can choose a way into spirit and we can choose to focus into God.
When we did the process,
right.
I asked for the, you know, clarity, whatever you told us to do in a situation. And I almost heard this voice that said, what situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it like, I finally was able to just give it up, whatever it is. There's mm-hmm. really nothing to worry about if you're going to just focus on God.
Well, that's true. And many of us have the experience that when we focus on God, we focus on spirit. All this stuff here that seems real, suddenly it's vanished.
It's vanished,
including, of course, the great illusion itself, which is death, that it doesn't exist and there is no such thing.
Yeah,
and that's, but you see, but that's the choice, and your ability to call on the spirit and then to have, well, okay, the situation that you think exists, it's an illusion, it's a hallucination. And so much of what we think is normal is really a hallucination, is really mass craziness. Okay, but everybody engages in it, so it's regarded as normal, but it's crazy. Okay, but the ability to come into that and bring the spirit, that's your ability to be an extraterrestrial. You're not bound by that situation. See, that was kind of proof of the talk and experience of the talk. You know, and also the mind loves to create things that it can then go and solve, or a problem or a situation that it can go then find the answer to. Doesn't mean the situation or the problem exists.
So nothing really exists except God.
There is no God but God. Well, that's really true. See, and it's interesting, and then we'll move on. Now, I know that in philosophy, you can't say that. That you can say, maybe, perhaps, God does exist, you know? But you can't come out with a very definite, definitive thing that God exists, okay? But that's all a product of the mind. See, and it's interesting to me that one of the Indian groups, the Jains, they actually make, because you can't posit philosophically, and the Indian systems are very deeply involved with coming to an understanding philosophically about God in a genuine search, that since you can't make that statement, there is God. They actually have 8 different posits of there's almost God, well, there's almost not God, and all shades of that. Okay, and that's all part of the illusion too. Okay, the only thing that God is, and that's the only thing that's real. And if and some people find it helpful when they forget that to go to a cemetery. And that helps them kind of realize what's real and what's everlasting. But that which is everlasting, you know, another part of how we work it is, well, I'm going to go to God when I die. Well, it's impossible. If you're not vibrating and not living with Him now, you forget it. You go to where you're vibrating at when you die, when you drop the body. That's another illusion we've bought into. Because it's all a denial of the power and the truth. That spirit is here and we have that responsibility. And that we are connected to God. And if you take a look at what you talked about, Anna, you talked about you asked the light to come into the situation. And the light just was your servant. Well, because you have dominion over all things from the place of knowing that you're spirit. Okay. Take a question out there in Phoneland. Okay, gonna let me offer easy? Okay, well, let's do one here. He's gonna show off his tie. Let the tie speak for you, Don.
You had mentioned that, I'm not sure if you used the word karma in this or not, but I think you said that we're working from karma that we had put in motion from our past life or from our basic selves' past life. Can you talk more about that?
Okay. When people talk about past lives, what they do is they'll say all these things, but they don't really know if it has to do with the soul that was in a body, that's part of their embodiment pattern, or if it's basic selves that are with them now and were in another body, etc. Okay, basic selves, the lower part of the consciousness that is responsible for bringing forward the karma that you're to have in this lifetime. Okay, they come from a pool, a repository in the inner worlds. Okay, so, and I've used this example before. Let's just say I'm to learn patience. Okay, I will get a basic self that's irascible, that is really impatient. So I can learn patience. Okay, and I might say, oh my God, I killed someone. Well, did I kill someone because, was that part of the embodiment pattern of the soul that's in the body now as Dr. Lane? Or is it that basic self that maybe in a previous life got so impatient, so angry that it just stabbed someone to death? Okay, which is which, okay? So most people, even when they talk about past lives, they don't even know, okay? But the point is that it really doesn't matter which is which, okay? What matters is, well, my gosh, how come you have that basic self this lifetime? That there's something for you in your what's called fake karma that you have to learn. And that's why that basic self has been assigned to you. See? And once again, it can only be assigned to you if you agree to take on that the karma, okay, this particular lifetime, okay? If you say, no, I'm not going to do it now, okay, fine. There'll be other basic selves in that repository when you okay the embodiment that will have that karma for you to have. Does that? Okay.
So it's, in a way, it's good practice as God. Being God.
What's good practice as God?
Working with the basics.
Oh, yeah. That's part of why I'm such a bug on working with the basics. I mean, the teachings teach us that you can only go as far as you've worked with your basic selves. And it is for that reason. Okay? And so that you can start choosing away from habitual karmic patterns and exercise the spirit that you are and start to move away from them. Okay, but that's the whole point of your embodiments and why you have the basics that you have, so that you can choose and move into being God. That's the whole point of existence. So you can come to know yourself directly as spirit, as God. Yeah, so God gives us everything for that purpose. Good, and that's a pretty good insight, Don, for you to realize that. Yeah, it is good practice. Okay. Anybody else like to share anything? Any other questions? Okay, well, we have another one here, so go ahead.
So our basics, they're chosen by us. They come in with us.
Okay.
And they know why we're here.
Okay, let me just refine it a little bit. Your basics are not chosen by you, okay? They're either chosen by the lords of karma, or if you're under sound current master, they're chosen by that particular master in the inner worlds, okay? If you agree to that particular embodiment with that particular karma, then guess what? You'll have those basics, and yeah, that's what you're agreeing to. See, and you need to bless, and you see, one thing's important, that we're responsible, and we're responsible on all levels. So it's part of our responsibility to work with our basics, because guess what? They progress too. And they progress and they become conscious selves. But they can only do that if we've worked with them. Then they graduate too. You know, and basic selves, they're the karma itself, as it were. Okay? And obviously the soul knows our karma, and also what's called the high self. A lot of people think the high self is soul, is spirit. It's not. It's still part of the negative worlds. But it's that part that does know our karma, and its job is to kind of keep us around that. You know. And by the way, I do, just my own evolution, I had all these experiences, and I couldn't put any words on it. I had no vocabulary. It was really direct experience of all this stuff. And I had no experience, no vocabulary at all. And then I did encounter a vocabulary, and it actually was a Hawaiian, the kahuna, the huna philosophy of basic self, conscious self, and high self. And I use it like they do. But underneath all those words is I had the direct experience well before the vocabulary, and it is accurate, okay? But we agree to this embodiment, then we agree to the karma, and we get the basic selves assigned that help us with that fake karma. Okay. Anyone else like to? Good.
When we agree to an embodiment, do we have a point when we agree to it, when we know what the meaning and purpose of life is? Or are we sort of under the shadow? Like if we...
No, dumb. We have... Okay. Dumb is dumb. Okay. And by that I mean when you're under karma, you're under karma. Okay, and the soul has gone asleep and needs to be awakened. And it's only really through grace that really involves that God takes you and has you meet whatever you want to call it, the master soul, the teacher, whatever, who can take you. And the soul starts to wake up and you start to fulfill your purpose, that the knowledge of which has lain dormant or asleep in you. But through the gift of initiation, it's woken up. And still within us, however unconscious, there is some kind of recognition of who we are and our true inheritance and our heritage and where we come from. So while you may not be able to verbalize it, you may not be able to vocalize it, and you may not be able to put it into words or even to conceptualize it in any way, there's still a knowing of what you're doing here. Okay, but if you take a look at the planet, and it's all perfect, but the hell of a lot of souls sleeping. Okay, and yet there's grace here for everyone. The same spirit that's in me and in you is in them. Okay, and their destiny as souls is the same as my destiny and your destiny. So there's something really common, you know? And I'll just end by saying, you know, we're all humans, and humans is you, H-U. And that's the highest level in the inner worlds outside of the unmanifested God. That's the first manifestation of God. So that tells us who we are. We're manifestations of God. We're extraterrestrial in that sense. And our destiny is to know that. And why we do it here in all places is we need to do it consciously. We need to do it volitionally. We need to do it out of free choice, an exercise of our will. See? And when our will and God's will becomes one and the same, you have the Christed consciousness. See, and then, of course, when our will becomes God's will, we discover that our will was God's will and God's will was our will all along. There ain't no difference. But through the exercise of our free will, as it were, and our choosing away from God and our separation, creating the separations and creating the karma, that's how we've split our will up from God's, and we've crucified ourselves. Okay, but God in his kindness, he makes sure that there's an answer to every crucifixion. And each time we choose away from God, we crucify ourselves. Okay, and the answer is always Easter. And, you know, if you want to use that or use Passover, you come into the promised land. You receive the word, you receive the Ten Commandments, you receive the sound current, and you go into the promised land. Okay? But it's not a physical space. It's not like Israel, you know? That's why there's so much bloodshed there. Karma's played out there because it's all physicalized. Okay? But it's in us, in the spirit we are, in the inner worlds. That's where we live and move and have our being. And if we surrender to that and open to that, that's where our strength is. And our power is in the letting go and in the surrendering. Just the opposite of what we think. You know, we think we're mere mortals. Okay, we don't know that we're immortals. And that there is a way into eternal life. And that we have to choose that. No religion owns it. No one person owns it. It's available freely to any soul that wants it. Okay, it's God's gift to us. Okay, and our gift to God is the devotion internally to him. Okay, we'll stop with that. So I want to say, wow, okay. We have a used car salesman here who tells me that tapes are available. Actually, we can show off our equipment, and I also believe not only tapes, folks, but we have CDs available. And I don't mean certificates of deposit, but we have CDs available. So you're free to choose whether you want a tape or a CD, and they're at the same special price. Okay, well, all right. And so just tell your center leader.